Brett Hollander back here on WBAL with one of our favorite guests, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, John Manuel. And Baseball America has come out with their new Orioles top 10 prospect list this week. John, how are you?
Brett, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to talking some Orioles prospects with you, and looking forward to being wrong about the Orioles again.
Yeah, well, so a 69-win club last year with a bad farm system somehow wins 93 games this past year. They almost win the American League East. They go to the last game of the regular season for that. They knock out the two-time pennant-winning Texas Rangers in a one-game playoff, and then they take the Yankees to the brink with being the underdog in what was just a spectacular five-game series as far as the closeness of it. And then what's left for an encore for Buck Showalter and company, we'll see here. But as far as your assessment of the Orioles' year is?
Well, I think we all thought that they were the fifth-best team in the division, and I think that was the consensus in the industry. And obviously they played past that, but I think almost nationally, and we actually featured Manny Machado in our American League East issue when we did all the top tens, because we felt that he deserved a story. Like, there were so many rookies to write about this year in the big leagues, but I feel like only maybe in Baltimore did Manny really get his due, and it really feels like he was such a big difference maker there, and I think we all undersold just what an impact he could make. I mean, he had one of the top 10 seasons by a teenager in home runs in the season, and he did it in a third of a season. Hit a home run in the postseason, played so cool in the playoffs, was so good at third base after playing two games in the minor league. So that was a case of a guy who had been hyped and who we had hyped as a minor leaguer, who lived up to the hype even a little bit sooner, I think, and a little bit differently than we all thought he could. But to me, once he got to the big leagues, what were they, 31-16?
Yeah, they're amazing.
He made such a huge difference for them. And you can see, I think you could really see that was a feel-good story this year. And I think it would be fair if the team had some regression next year. But the future, I think, is pretty sound there with Wieters, Jones, Machado, and then we got a little taste of Dylan Bundy in the big leagues, too. Those are some stars that you can really, really build around.
The reality is, John, if the Orioles won 81 games this past year and Machado and Bundy got to the big leagues, it would have been a rousing success for a season. A rousing success to win 81 games and have Machado and Bundy just to make it to the big leagues, meaning that they had really good minor league years. Well, they both had great minor league years, and the Orioles won 93 games, and Machado played a critical role in that, and Bundy still got to the big leagues.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, going to the playoffs was almost gravy from the organization standpoint, but then the thing is, once you're there, you kind of wish that, like you said, a break here, a break there. You know, what could have been against the Yankees, and certainly the way the Yankees, I believe in the hip-hop world, they said they went out like suckers against Detroit. But they really went out like suckers against Detroit. I think everyone knows or is confident that the Orioles would not have done that because they didn't go out like suckers against anybody. They went down. You had to get all 27 outs to beat the Orioles this year, and that's, I think, why there was an endearing team. It wasn't just the winning. I'm sure the winning was a big part of it, but they were an endearing team for the grinding way they played and the way they fought for everything. And like you said, I mean, if you're going to graduate a prospect and lose a prospect out of your top 10 like they did with Machado, it's nice to have a guy like Dylan Bundy that still qualifies, who, you know, I think is on the very, very short list for best pitching prospect in the minor leagues, and I would say that he is the best pitching prospect in the minor league.
Going back to Machado, I get asked this a lot. What is the ceiling offensively? Are we talking 22, 25, 27 home runs? I think the defense will speak for itself over time. Right now, it's actually scary to think how good he could be at third base, although I think his future long-term, when Hardy's contract is up, is at shortstop. But right now, I don't think you're going to find too much of a better third baseman, considering how little experience he has there. It's actually scary. His athleticism and instincts, they're just off the charts. And then his cool and calmness under pressure, these are things that even those who watch him every day, I think, have a hard time getting a feeling for until you see him out there in the big leagues.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the thing you said. I mean, to me, he is a future shortstop. He's probably a 25 to 30 home run guy. It's easy power. He doesn't come out of his shoes to hit the ball hard. And to me, it's going to all be a matter of controlling the strike zone. And there were times when he was overmatched by a breaking ball from a right-hand pitcher. And there were times when he had some at bats where he just wasn't competitive because a right-hander could get him to chase a breaking ball and then repeat step one over and over again. But that didn't happen too often, and it seemed like he was good as the year went on at making adjustments. So to me, it's all going to be a matter of, as long as he consistently gets himself into hitters' counts, you know, I think going forward, he's going to be, you know, protected a little bit less in the lineup by Buck Showalter. You know, this is not a guy who the Orioles are going to go forward with him hitting 7, 8, 9. You know, this is going to be a guy that he moved up in the lineup late in that Yankee series, and I think he's going to move up in the lineup. I guess he hit 6 against Sabathia in Game 5, and, and I see him being a 5-6 hole hitter in the near future, and I think down the line he's the Orioles 3-hole hitter, because that's the ceiling on this guy. Is it's not Mike Trout ceiling, it's not Bryce Harper ceiling, but it's just a shade below those guys. I really think he's going to be kind of the Duke Snyder to Willie and Mickey for the next 10, 15 years.
Amazing. And to be fair, I think he averaged pretty much the same home runs per at-bats in his rookie year in the big leagues as Bryce Harper. So, so you know, there is something to be said for that. I do want to talk about Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman, and I lump them together only because they're both knocking on the door. I think the talent might be different, although I'm not sure how different. They're different pitchers, but right now it makes it very interesting if you're Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter, because you have established a core group in the big leagues with Wei-Yin Chen, Jason Hamill, Chris Tillman, Miguel Gonzalez, and there were so many other contributors, and Joe Saunders is a free agent. But right now, the way I see it, and Zach Britton also had his moments in the regular season as well, and Jake Arrieta came back looking very strong as far as his overall stuff and velocity out of the bullpen. Some of those guys are going to go this offseason. I'm not sure who. I know some of them are still, especially Chris Tillman, very intriguing to other clubs right now. And with Gausman and Bundy knocking on the door, maybe Duquette and Showalter are in position to deal from strength here.